smoke rolling out the window, and ice cold beer sitting in the console.
Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 37, recorded on December 10th, 2024, after, geez, Pirate, how long has it been? A month? Something like that.
Yeah, well, you know.
Holidays and storms and.
This is Pirate here again. Well, let's just say that we've been busy.
Yes, we have.
This whole world has been busy and this whole state.
Well, I'm ready to be no busy.
Oh, I wish we could just be on it, just to take it easy.
Well, you're gonna hate me for this. After Thursday or tomorrow, starting Thursday, I'm off the rest of the year, man.
That's ridiculous.
Do you need some help at the shop there? Maybe, you know, I might get bored. I mean, even thinking of doing a solo golf day, man, since we can't ever seem to get anybody together. But anyways, we are here to, give you a bunch of content. We got a lot of stuff we want to talk about. And, why don't we, go ahead and open up with the, Trump election victory, man. I mean, this was a major, major thing. At least it was for me. I'm pretty sure you are too. How do you feel about go back a little bit leading up to this, the election night, and then, so let's talk about leading up to this, the election night, and then how we feel afterwards. So why don't we backtrack a little bit, Pirate? So let's start with how you felt about leading to the election. I mean, what was your take on Kamala Harris versus Donald J. Trump?
Well, I was nail biting for sure. And I really thought that somewhere, somehow, some way, they were going to figure out how to turn the tables and win again.
Right.
I'm talking about the Democrats.
Right, right.
And I was worried that there was going to be some type of cheating. Or either that, they had everybody drinking the Kool-Aid so much that people were going back for seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
And that everyone was convinced that the Kamala was the, you know, the second coming.
Right. And the thing that got me with the whole lead up to this is with Kamala is just there was nothing genuine about her.
No.
And she was shooed in basically because the Joe Biden, which stirred it up back in the spring, he's going to run. And then they realize after that debate that he had with Donald Trump.
By the way, those people that recommended that he run or went to his side said, yeah, Joe, go ahead and take another hit at this.
Well, the theory with this is they knew that having Kamala run would be a disaster.
Which it was.
Which then they basically had no choice but to back off on Joe Biden and pick her. She only ran like a 100-day campaign or something like that. But I'm with you on that. I thought the steel was going to be on again, like in 2020. And for those of you who are listening and disagree with this and say that's conspiracy theory, there's nothing stolen, then I'm going to remind you that Hillary Clinton back in 2017 felt the election was stolen from her. So it's okay for you guys to challenge an election, but we can't. Well, that's where I'm going to call BS on that. So if you want to send a comment on that, I'd be more than happy to light you up with logic. But yeah, I felt with, especially with the media, we know the media is all left. I felt she was going to win. I really did.
Well, yeah, because the media was really stirring up the pot.
Like,
man,
you said, they treated her like it was a coming to Jesus moment.
Oh, they were just, we're not worthy. They were so happy that they had a Black wannabe Indian or whatever the hell she is,
female,
you know, liberal, it hit, social,
right? It hit the DEI checklist,
socialist DEI checkpoint all the way down the list. I mean, and flip the page over two times. No experience in politics. Woman, right, running for Democrat presidential candidate.
And the fear tactics that they brought on that Donald J. Trump is a criminal.
He was a fascist.
He's going to end democracy.
He was a Nazi.
Right. He's going to put journalists in jail.
Yes.
I mean, talk about.
Oh, they told people he's going to deport everybody. He is going to
deport a lot of people. That's coming.
Yeah.
Well, that's
they made it sound like it was a bad thing, when which it's actually a good thing.
Well, someone's going to pull your lettuce.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they argue. Who's going to get your strawberries for you?
Well, I guess You know, Billy Bob, you sitting around, the
people here, the people here with a working visa.
Yeah.
Hey, you can come from another country and come here and get a working visa.
There are working visas.
Right. But the thing was, it's amazing how the fear tactics again of if you don't vote for her, he's going to end democracy. Yet she wasn't democracy. She never got a single primary vote after Joe Biden. The party just shoehorned her in there.
Oh, yeah.
And then everything about her just felt so scripted. Like I come from a middle-class family. I mean, that was her answer.
I worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, which they find out, which turned out she didn't. But there are still people that defend that. It's like, well, you're gonna defend her that she lied about.
First of all, I mean, that's no bragging point. It is no bragging point.
You know,
like that makes you better.
But the president, which I'm happy to call him that, and he is the president, and he will be the president again. But the president kind of had fun with that by working at that McDonald's. He was like happy to do the fries and happy to hand out bags at the drive-through. And these people freaked out.
And he used that as a campaign point.
Well, he goes, I've now worked 15 more minutes at a McDonald's than Kamala. Yeah. So no, I was with you, man. I was just like, I don't think he's going to win because, you know, Donald Trump is a polarizing character. He is. I get he splits people up because of his personality.
Let's back the tape up. Maybe he was a polarizing character.
That doesn't seem like he is now.
I think that he's very presidential right now.
Yeah. Well, you said back the tape up, my friend. You're already skipping to the third part I want to get to. So we'll get to that. Go ahead and save those thoughts. I hear you. I know you got a million things to say. So let's go into election night, man. Tell me how you were feeling. Cause I knew to tell you guys my quick story, cause I don't have much of a story. I stopped watching about 7 o'clock.
Well, the TV networks were lagging on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They were showing 80% in, 20% in here, 50. And I'm like,
but you were watching it, right?
Yeah. And I was what the hell's wrong with these states? They can't count. Look at these poll workers, fire them all. I'm thinking, you know, thinking this is going to be terrible. There's going to be court, you know, lawyers involved, court cases, everything opened up to just because of this. Someone goofed up counting in the voting process and they're going to be pissed. Republicans are going to be pissed. It's going to be dragged on for months. It's going to be like when the 2000 election with Bush, we didn't know if he won it or not, right?
Gore with the hanging chads. Yeah, that's Florida for you. You know? But see, that's as a Floridian, we can say, well, that was Broward County. They're a bunch of idiots. You have to tell more about this part because I stopped watching at 5 p.m.
Well, So
you were glued. You were watching.
I was watching.
So when did you start feeling that looking at the electoral numbers, about what time in the evening did you start looking at the numbers saying, I think he's going to win?
It wasn't until like 11 midnight, dude, that we really started to see.
Did you start to feel it then?
Yeah. And then I said, you know, I can't stay up any later too.
So you hit the sack.
I just said, whatever happens, I guess I'll have to sort it out in the morning.
Okay. So shoot us into the morning. You wake up. What is the first thing you do? Do you take a piss? Do you take a shit? Do you get a coffee or do you immediately go to your phone or turn on the TV? What did you do?
Well, two things happened. I did wake up, take a leak. And then number two, my wife, who is a night owl, God bless her soul, she and she loves owls, so she is an owl, but she came in and says, he won.
Wow. So you got a good morning wake up.
Yeah, and she told me he won, and I was like, I knew somehow, some way it could happen.
But I didn't know it was going to happen this way. Right, but you were feeling it at 11 p.m., though.
I was starting to because the numbers were catching up on the TV screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, well, and then the biggest thing that was going on in the back of my head is, but do they concede?
She took a little bit to do that.
Yes.
She did.
She had to get her composure, I think.
But let me tell you from my perspective what happened here. So I got up about 5 a.m. and I didn't turn on the TV yet. I didn't look at my phone. Poured myself a cup of coffee first. I said, I'm going to have some coffee before I find out. Like I'm completely oblivious to it. So I open up my phone and I don't see any news clips yet. Cause you know, sometimes the Apple will flash something at you. I got no flash pop-ups or anything. I saw about 8 text messages and I thought to myself, he won because if Kamala won, I wouldn't be getting 8 text messages from different people too. Cause I opened up the bubble and I saw there was 4 or 5 different people and a couple repeat messages. Cause a couple of people were on the thread. And then I turned on the TV and it's crazy. I went right to Fox News commercial. I was like, damn. And usually at the bottom, they put on a ticker. They didn't. They had no ticker. So I had to wait another anxious 2 minutes because I didn't still check my phone yet. I just checked my phone that I have messages, but I wanted to hear it from the news. As soon as the commercial ended, Ainsley Earhart came on and he said, Donald J. Trump will be our next, 47th president of all time. And I was just like, holy shit. Talk about a relief. I mean, seriously. I mean,
it took a load off your shoulders. It did.
And you know what? I'm happy to be wrong because I thought Kamala was going to win. I really thought she was going to win. So talk about a relief, but let's get into what you mentioned earlier, that being presidential, more calm, better demeanor, even the press's allegations for his cabinet picks are not sticking. I mean, they're trying to go after Pete Hegseth, who's a lieutenant colonel, Army retired. The guy's a fucking literal war hero. He's been on Fox News for over 10 years now as a full-time guy, not even a part-time guy. And now they think they're going to bring up dirt on him?
They're bringing up little bitty dirt. Like he got drunk while he was in the military. Yeah, nothing, come on yeah, now. All military guys drink. Yeah,
nothing's sticking.
Yeah, nothing's sticking. And yeah, they got Matt Gaetz. They got rid of him, and he had some baggage.
I was kind of in.
It was kind of a rough pick to pick, anyways. Yeah. I would have passed him up.
Right, right.
But they'd get Kristi Noem. They got her. They got
How about the Doge with Elon Musk?
Elon Musk and Vivek. That's been a great.
They pick. Got that one Tom Holman back as
Tom Holman
as the border czar. He was an ICE director before. He's been very outspoken about the border the last 4 years. And they
just picked that guy, the Indian guy Patel. He's going to lead the FBI.
Cash Patel.
Yeah, he's going to rip some new assholes there.
So why would a Nazi racist? Why would an Indian guy go work for a Nazi racist?
Obviously, he's a good boss. He knows what he's doing.
No, obviously, what the media was telling us about him is a complete fabrication and a lie.
That too.
Yeah, no, I'm already feeling this vibe of this new presidency. Well, and, the stock market's doing good. And, people say, well, that's Biden. It's like, whatever. I won't argue that. I don't care because he is the president right now. So I'm not. But I'm saying that I just feel relieved. It's not that I'm this big fan of Trump. It's just
he's already doing stuff for the country. He's already making
appearances. He went to that Notre Dame thing.
Notre Dame. He went and visited Canada, France. He went
to
Mexico. He went to Mexico and talked to that lady.
Even the current president invited him to the Oval, and they had a meeting.
They did have a meeting.
They did.
They talked about the transfer.
Right.
I don't know how the conversation went, but I'm sure there were some choice words, but I'm sure they had to keep it to a minimum.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to always agree, but I thought it was a gentlemanly thing of Joe Biden to do, to invite him to the White House beforehand. And the funny thing about that is now there are conspiracy theorists are saying, we think Joe Biden voted for Donald J. Trump. Well, they screwed him.
Yeah, they did.
The party screwed him.
Yeah.
And the media screwed him because the media try to play up all this negativity about Trump and then try to prop up Kamala, and it didn't work. To me, this election is just about karma and common sense. Enough of the DEI, enough with the LGBTQT and all these victims that are whining for rights that we all have. That's not supposed to be an anti- gay thing or anything. I love gay people, but you're no special than me and I'm no more special than you. Who you're with, that's your choice.
Well, that has nothing to do with average Joe working man.
Right. Well, and that's why, with the Bud Light thing that backfired on him, because let's put a trans dude on a Bud Light, can. Look how that backfired.
What does that have to do with the average Joe college boy or average?
It doesn't, and they paid the price for
it.
They
sure did.
To me, this election paid the price for it.
Because the average worker said,
we got tired of
all of this DEI does not does not even need to be in my life. I don't need to witness it, see it, hear about it, know of it.
Just don't be an asshole to me, and I won't be an asshole to you. What happened to that? Do no harm.
Well, there is a lot of vanilla people out there. They're being, it doesn't bother me, you know, but they still don't want to see it. I don't want to see it in my face, but it doesn't bother me. And that's how they are, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't mind, you know, different races. I don't mind, you know, transsexuals, but I don't want to be in the bathroom with them. That's all. Well, and that's what it is.
That's what exactly. Even the trans with a men changing in a woman's locker room. That's
Sally is right, on the soccer team. And there's a trans boy. He's competing and he wins every time.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's one of so many things of this election where people just got
enough is enough.
Enough of the wokeism.
Enough. We've had enough.
That's what it is. It's the wokeism. Your wokeism is crap. You got no principles you stand on. And then you tell us to unify. Well, their idea of unify to them means compliance. And that's why I believe Donald J. Trump won and won people over who probably didn't vote for him last time. They said Kamala Harris didn't gain a single county in the entire United States compared to Joe Biden. She didn't do better than Joe Biden. She didn't a single county. And then when you start again in the demographics of blacks and black men and Hispanics and all the minorities that usually vote Democrat,
sure,
they said those numbers were all up higher than they were last time.
That's because some black guys are working men's and they're like, enough of this shit. I'm getting, my groceries are too high.
Right.
I'm getting taxed out of yin and yang.
We're all being affected by that.
We're being affected. And maybe they don't like the woke either. Maybe their media shows it, but there is a lot of black or Hispanics or Chinese, whatever the heck you is.
Yeah.
Those people are working people. Well, and they're not always libs either.
Well,
they might be middle of the road.
Right. You know? They could be middle of the road. Right.
Sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's like this guy I know at the gym, he's a pastor. He's a lib, but he's a middle of a road lib. Like he can't stand seeing, he'll say these damn girls at the beach with their titties and their ass hanging out. And then I was like, but that's very liberal of them. And he goes, ain't got nothing to do with that. You know what I'm talking about. But yeah, no, what a relief, huh? I mean, and hasn't even become president yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, have you ever heard the Allstate commercial? You're in good hands. We are in good hands.
Good hands. But of course, leave it up to Egg York City to not want to drop the charges on him because they're still, they're still sore about it because now he's got kind of presidential immunity and everything. I just see good things happening, man. I feel good about things like.
I think by the midway of his presidency, places like New York and California and all those Midwestern and Northeastern states that are, you know, fringe liberal, they'll probably see the error of their ways and start to say, you know what? He's doing an okay job.
Yeah, they don't want to publicly admit it, but they'll admit it.
I think they're going to admit it. And already some of the media is already admitting that, hey, let's give the man a chance.
Yeah, well, because not only was it not close, like the media said it was going to be close.
Oh, they got their ass handed.
Kamala got smacked down.
Yeah.
Now they say that about everything, but what they typically say, a landslide election, this is a landslide election. And it's kind of like what the president encouraged, that make it too big to rig.
Yeah.
And that's
it was
that's,
too big that, to rig.
Too big to rig.
In the last election where Biden went up against Trump, the results were close.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made and led a lot of people to believe that, well, hell, there's been some cheating going on here.
Yeah, it was like 10 million votes or something.
There's some votes being stuffed in a mailbox or a cardboard box.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things. Oh, no, there's been documentaries about that and actual video footage. I think that's my other theory of why it didn't work out this time for the Democrats, if you believe that.
Well, there was a lot of people watching, right?
Well, there was more watching, and a lot of places would not allow you to do a mail-in ballot just because you want to. Back during the COVID days, people were scared to stand in the lines.
Sure.
I get it. Well, we're well past that.
Actually,
now.
I don't get it because.
Well, we look back at that. That's a different subject. Yeah. But yeah, no, we can keep going off about that. But
we
can
go off for many hours on that.
I'm happy about.
Well, I am thrilled, and I can't wait to give the man a chance. This is his second chance. He has a lot of good things like planned.
I like the talks of ushering in a golden age.
Yes.
That feels good, man. Yeah. That feels really good.
Well, especially for folks like us, we're getting close to thinking about our golden age.
Right.
Our retirement years could be coming in by the time his presidency is over with. And we need to earn some more income.
We do.
Which we've thrown out a lot of income the last several years due to groceries being high.
Oh, yeah.
And gas being high and clothes being high.
I'm with you on that.
And everything, the electric bill, and just go down the pike on everything.
You know, the other thing, the effects of it, and, you know, whether you can say he had anything to do with it or not, but look even what happened in the crypto market. Bitcoin hit 100,000. I mean, that's telling you something.
Crypto, I have a small crypto account.
Yeah, I've done a little bit.
I gained $40.
There you go.
A couple days.
There you go.
Can you believe that? I didn't have to do nothing. I just looked at the crypto account and said, I'll be damned. $40 is in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So isn't that something? Well, here's what I have to say.
All right. We're going to wrap it up after this.
A big congratulations to Donald Trump. Yellowstone has now started a new season. And I started watching the other night.
Yeah,
Many nights back.
I'm watching. I'm caught up. I caught up just before you came over.
Yeah, and it's been there's a lot of twists that have been going on. A
little dry this season.
Yeah, but it's a little dry, and it's also got a lot of twists in the plot where things are starting to wind down in the whole Dutton Ranch a little bit.
Yep. Yep.
And we don't know which way are they going.
Well, Casey's scheming for something. My suspicion is he's going to turn over the land to the Injuns.
I think so, too. I noticed the Injuns were looking at that lake and figuring out.
The pipe.
Yeah,
they don't want all that. They don't want that either.
No.
This is the best way to save and preserve the land.
And he was asking, you know, what happens if I sell the property for a dollar or something, you know?
Beth's car.
Yeah, yeah. They were using that as a reference, but I think he was also insinuating that, what if I sold the property?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you pay the tax on the sale. Yep.
Because right now that's their biggest problem. They owe so many taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to sell. The Yellowstone Ranch is going to the Injuns, but I bet you they'll make an agreement where they can keep the ranch and continue to operate it. Because think about it. Just because you own the land now doesn't mean you don't miss out on a cash cow, which is basically a cattle farm to make millions of dollars in sales and still be one with nature, instead of being the typical running a casino and hotels and resorts and everything. Think about it in this front. Now, the Indians are now going to take over Yellowstone, but that's all they're going to do. They're going to continue to keep operating it as a cowboy farm, and Rip and Lloyd are going to run the place. And Casey, of course, too. He's part of the family name. So, you know, and he thought he was broke, and then she told him, actually, you got about $30 million. I'm like, damn. Not bad for losing the ranch, I guess. But it's not about losing it anymore. He realized this is about saving it, and he has to turn it over to the tribe.
The whole show from the get-go has been about saving the ranch from the get-go.
Right.
That was John Dutton's legacy was all about, was keeping the ranch going.
And the Injuns wanted their land back, and they were going to preserve it.
They've always wanted their land.
It's only the business people, even that one casino Indian guy, I forgot his name. You know, that's where they feel that's ruining the land and ruining the culture and all that kind of stuff. But
then Taylor Sheridan was involved in the last several episodes, I see.
Yeah, yeah, he wrote himself in.
Because of the exit of.
Well, that's the rumor that the show is going to spin off into the Yellowstone 4-6s.
Yes,
and you know what? You know they
well, they've already
kind of
traveled down
back
to
and forth, right?
Traveled down to Texas, down the to the Pampa area,
right?
And noticed, Beth and Rip went into a local bar, a cowboy bar, and noticed everybody's just like them, hard work cowboys.
Yep.
She goes, you notice there's no tourists here.
Yeah, just a different kind of cowboy, right? Between Texas and Montana.
Oh, they're pretty much all the same. They're actually more involved in cowboying in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. And they were like, yeah, there's no tourists here. You know?
Right, right.
They don't have all these people from New York or California or Illinois. They're ruining their land.
That sucks about Colby, though, man.
Colby
got a mule kick right in the chest, man.
Yeah, that was terrible, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Poor, what's her name? Tater.
Yeah, that's Michael Landon's daughter. Yeah. So she's not feeling too happy about things right now.
Oh, I get it, man.
And,
you know, she's a little bit on the skinny side, but I still think something about her. She's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her name's Jen Landing or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Jen Landon.
Jen Landon.
Landon. Landon. Michael Landon was from Little Landon. House on the Prairie.
Right. Yeah. That's her old man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually heard her in interviews just speak normal English. It's actually just kind of funny. I was like, I knew she didn't talk like that, but it's still weird to hear her talk normal.
Yeah. I think she's originally from Malibu, California.
Oh, yeah. She grew up with a silver spoon in her mouth. But I tell you what, she became a hell of an actress. You know, but yeah, that's supposed to be the rumor that they're going to spin it off to the 4-6s.
I think so too.
Yeah.
They already got Jimmy down there. Yeah,
Jimmy's down there. Plus, on the real side of things, Taylor Sheridan is a part-time owner of the 4-6s. So it's his land. Go film where you want, you know, basically. Yeah. And I'm going to get the kickbacks out of this. So in a way, for Taylor Sheridan, it's a good setup because the ranch still continues to do what it does with cattle.
I don't know what they can do about the dialogue of the story, or can they keep it going, or are they just going to turn in new characters, or what they're going to do. That's
confusing
to be determined.
To be determined. Yeah.
I mean, and then we lost, you know, the best character, John Dutton. You know, that's a big loss in a character. Right. And then you lost, you know, Colby and a couple other characters too.
Yeah. Over the years.
Yeah. So you can't write back in these people to make it work, you know, with the 6s.
But I tell you, man, out of all the characters on the show, I really like Rip.
Rip is good.
He's a good dude, man. So is Lloyd.
I like Lloyd. Yeah.
So is Lloyd. Between the two guys who are ball busters, but are fair. And it's not about them treating you nice, because they're not nice.
No, you're there to work.
You're there to work, and they'll remind you of it.
Oh, real quick.
Oh, yeah. And Lloyd and Rip, to me, are probably two of my favorite characters on the show. They're good. They're good men. Hey, they're cowboys, man.
Well, do you know that Lloyd is from Helena, Montana, originally?
Oh, he's a local?
He's a local yokel.
So for him, it's like being back home, huh? He's
back home. And then they said when they've already filmed, you know.
Yeah.
So they said when they filmed the last episode this season, he started clapping, and then he went up to everybody and he told everybody he wanted to congratulate everybody on their performance,
mm-hmm.
and then how great they did their job. And people had tears.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he took the time to congratulate everybody on the set.
Yeah, yeah.
And tell them how great.
That's class.
Yeah, he has class, dude. How great they did. How great you performed.
Yeah.
This has been a legendary show.
Yeah.
That's captivated all of the world, I'm sure.
Well, we got one more episode left, and we'll see where it goes. But what about the other Taylor Sheridan project? What about Landman? Anyone watching Landman with Billy Bob Thornton?
Oh, I've been watching it from day one, man.
Yeah, man.
It's an interesting show,
ain't it?
It's very interesting because it's about oil.
Right.
And it's about this guy, Billy Bob, who's he's a land man. He's like the head boss that drives around and makes sure things are jibing and working smooth.
How about that it made national news a couple weeks ago that his character exposed that windmills are just there for the tax breaks because they help energize the oil pumps that pump oil out of the ground. It's just like, he basically explained, like they've always said, you can't run enough windmills to run all the power in this country. You can stack them coast to coast and there still wouldn't be enough wind to hit our power needs.
They would have to be spinning like a freaking propeller on a freaking biplane.
Yeah, but they're not made for that.
They're not.
They're geared down to go a certain speed because those blades will rip off.
And they don't produce, and you see him all over the world and all over the country.
It's only for show. He's basically,
he said
without those windmills, they couldn't run pumps in certain areas because it would cost too much to run power out there traditionally by line, right? So you put in the windmills,
you get a tax break.
You get a big tax break. The environmentalists love you, but you're still pumping oil out of the ground.
Yeah. The only good thing is you're not using so much oil or coal to burn to make the electricity to pump the oil.
Right, right.
If that makes any sense.
But that's still trying to get to the source.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to me. Save money where you can, right?
Yeah, well, that's what it is, being smart. You're taking advantage of the stupid federal government with their tax breaks, and then on top of that, the environmentalists love you because you're running green technology, but there's really nothing green about
it. It really shouldn't be that way, though.
Well, there's nothing green about a windmill. It's been proven time and time again. The amount of carbon fiber that goes into those blades that are not recyclable, the amount of grease that those gears have to be on, the amount of birds and owls and bats it kills, you know, and then
Well, here's the thing.
It's all bullshit.
They say that there are so many things that are bad for the environment. Hell, gardening's bad for the environment. You know,
well, they wouldn't be happy until humans are eradicated. That's ultimately what it is.
That's
ultimately what they want. I don't disagree with them. If we weren't on this planet, the planet would be running just fine as far as an ecology goes. But, you know, this is the way it is.
Seems to be spinning every day to me.
And then any time people want to, you know, rep on oil and fossil fuels. Look at this. Fossil fuel, you know. Fossil fuel, everything in here, fossil fuel, the TV, everything that you use, everyday life, fossil fuels.
And what happens when we stop using fossil fuel? What are we going to make things with?
Well, that's been the big fight. So
it is the big fight.
Yeah. But that's a cool show. What else we got going on here? How about Cobra Kai?
Cobra Kai started up season 6.
Okay. Well, now I haven't watched this yet, so don't drop any spoilers, but it's been pretty good. I finished when they agreed the last season, and the last episode was when they agreed to do that big.
So they're at the Sakai Taikai.
Yeah. The big international tournament.
Yeah. And the big to do is, John Kreese is back with Cobra Kai.
Oh.
The Ching Wong with the tight hair pulled back is back.
Yeah.
John Kreese is back. John Kreese and then Terry Silver.
So that Ching Wong is back?
Ching Wong.
Couldn't resist.
Oh, she back, okay. Yeah.
What about Chosen?
Chosen is back. He's a Ching.
And you can spoil this. I heard there's a CGI Miyagi in this, too.
Yes, they did a nightmare dream that Daniel's son had in his sleep in the hotel room at the Saikai tournament.
Okay.
He was...
he had a vision with Miyagi.
And Miyagi is fighting him.
Ooh.
And there's a guy that looks like a young Miyagi.
Okay.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Maybe a CG.
Well, they did CGI. I saw the pictures.
Yeah. But then at the end, it has a picture of him with him talking.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So it's Daniel's son.
So Miyagi's back in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. That's cool, man. No, I've actually... this is my second time watching the series because I've really loved the Karate Kid movies. And then, you know, Cobra Kai comes out and, the fact that William Zabka, who plays Johnny, came back and he was such a douchebag in the first movie, you know, he was the bully.
He's still kind of awkward.
But you know what? This show's about Johnny. I'm sorry, man.
It's from his angle.
I love Johnny, man. I'm rooting for Johnny all the time.
Well, in this new latest season, they've got it's split because, you know, they're sensei and together.
Yeah.
So it shows both of their takes on things.
Oh, yeah. No,
but they've come together.
There's been a disagreement on the style.
Yeah. And they've come together with their styles now, and they're both in agreement finally. And I think that they're this next season, they say it's coming. There's more to come.
There's one more season left.
I stayed up to 11:30 last night watching it. the latest episode, and it's a little bit off the chain, dude.
Okay. Well, and you know, this isn't over. What's his face? Ralph Macchio is already in the middle or finished filming Jackie Chan, a Karate Kid movie.
Oh, really?
Because Jackie Chan did a Karate Kid reboot in a way. Now, internationally, it was called the Kung Fu Kid. It should have been called the Kung Fu Kid here because he taught the kid Kung Fu.
Kung Fu.
It's
yourself.
Right. It's a take of the first movie, just done with different characters. And it does take place in China and everything. I mean, so Jackie Chan got to talk a little bit in his native tongue as well because he speaks Chinese. But that's kind of cool that they're going to take both of their characters and kind of bring them together for this next movie. And I haven't seen a Jackie Chan movie in a while either. So basically,
what's Ralph Macchio's role in the movie?
Well, he's playing his character.
So he's going to play it, huh?
Yeah, he's playing his character as Daniel's son, and somehow he runs into Jackie Chan's character, and they're both good guys. So hopefully they don't fight each other.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, but maybe they'll have a little spar, you know. But yeah, no, that's a cool show, man. I've enjoyed that.
In the beginning, it took me a while to start liking it because there were a lot of little kids involved.
Yeah, so yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Ah, not another teenager show, but being that Johnny's in it and Chosen's in it, and John Kreese is in it,
right?
Terry Silver. I like Terry Silver. Yeah. He's a badass.
The only last tie to the original movie that I hope they bring back in the next season is Hilary Swank, because she actually played in the fourth Karate Kid movie called The Next Karate Kid with Pat Morita.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would be the last major character from the Karate Kid series to bring back. Because think about it, they brought everybody back. They brought Johnny back. They brought his original Cobra Kai friends. Remember in the first season, they went on a motorcycle ride together. All those actors were those guys.
They just brought one guy back that was in Cobra Kai originally, that was with John Kreese, and he had the Cobra Kai tattoo.
Okay.
And
I know you're talking about.
Quick spoiler, Daniel's son got in a fight with them while he was over in the Saikai Taikai.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So that's just a quick.
Yeah,
quick
no, spoiler. I get it.
But yeah, there's another actor.
Chosen, his girlfriend from Karate Kid Part 2.
The
redhead girl from the third movie. She was in it playing.
How about the Ching-Wong girl? Did she come in it?
Yeah. Oh, no, not her.
What was her name?
No, she wasn't in the, she wasn't in any of the movies.
Oh.
No. The only Ching-Wong girl that came back was the actress who played his girlfriend from Karate Kid Part 2. When he went over to Okinawa.
That's the one I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. She was tied to the second movie.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, she was the girlfriend from the second
movie. Did she come in the series yet?
Yeah. Kumiko. Remember,
the Kumiko.
Yeah, remember when he went to Okinawa to go find Tomie Village and it turned out to be a mall?
Yes.
And then he ran into Kumiko, and then that's how he ran into Chosen, and Chosen was going to mess him up.
Well, that's right. Chosen, yes. In the latest episode, there's been a Kumiko, and I was trying to place that. Why that?
Yep, from part two.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Mike Barnes from the third movie.
Mike Barnes, they got in that big fight, remember?
Yeah, Terry Silver from the third movie. So the only, and now that you said Pat Morita, even though CGI is back, so the only person left that was a major character in the four Karate Kid movies would be Hilary Swank, and there hasn't been any rumors whether she's coming back or not. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, it's been a great series. I like watching it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like that it's cool only show. Like a 40-minute episode, so that's
good. Some of them are just 30 minutes.
Yeah, they're quick. I like those quick ones.
Yeah. Well, how about this? The Hawk 2 girl got in a little trouble last week. Hold on.
You gotta give him that Hawk 2 and spit on that thing.
Yeah, so her name is actually Haley Welch, launched a crypto meme coin named for her infamous Hawk 2 catchphrase, touting the token as a way to connect with her fans. The token briefly spiked, climbing to nearly 500 million market cap. Soon after, to the surprise of no one other than the unlucky few who decided to buy Hawk on the public markets, the coin collapsed more than 95%. The upshot is retail investors got fleeced while a group of insiders pocketed $3 million, according to blockchain analytics Bubble Map. So she might be in trouble now, man. She just went from being infamous infamous to famous. I don't know how that works.
See, this is the problem, is you get somebody that gets famous,
mm-hmm.
and then they start sticking their nose in things that they should just stay away from.
Right, right.
You know, just stick with being a Hawk 2 girl.
Yeah, she said she pitched her token as primarily as a reward for her fan base, saying that there would be giveaways to podcast listeners and buyers of the merchandise line. Behind the scenes, however, her Hawk partners had other plans. They began reaching out to other crypto insiders, promising first dibs before the coin went live. So basically, they did a little insider trading, which is actually, I don't think there's anything wrong with that in the crypto market.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, but it seems like they fleeced people where they could get in trouble for, because they didn't reveal exactly what is Hawk, and then when it did, it spiked, and they basically, like those short sales you hear in stocks, I couldn't fully explain it. Our buddy could. He could explain it again because he works finance. But basically, you hedge a bet against a stock dropping, and you actually make money off of it. It's kind of a weird thing, that part's actually completely legal, but who knows, man? So, yeah, Hawk 2.
Gotta give him that Hawk 2 and spit on that thing.
Yeah.
I'm Skippy.
Yeah, so what you got here? Don't you got something about a restaurant or something coming back?
Yeah, you know, I used to go to Chi-Chi's Mexican restaurant years ago.
I had actually never been.
Well, I remember it. They were pretty good. I mean, it had chimichangas and burritos and tacos. Yeah,
was that a corporate chain or something?
Yeah, it's a big old chain, but they've been out of business since 2004.
Ah, it's been that long, huh?
They had a big hepatitis problem.
Oh.
People were eating their tacos and getting hep from it.
Oh, damn.
And a couple people died, and people got sick, so they shut it down. But the original owner, Michael McDermott, or the new owner is Michael McDermott, and the original owner, McDermott, is a dad. He's the one that started it, and of course, that guy's long gone and retired, but the new kid, Michael McDermott, he owns the Kona restaurants and another coffee place. What's it called? I can't figure it out.
Starbucks?
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? Anyways, he owns a coffee-type place, and he also owns that Kona. Ever seen that Kona Foods? Hawaiian.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's decided now that he wants to take on his dad's legacy of rebuilding Chi-Chi. So he's had to ask I think it's the Hormel brand that owns them, their name brand. Because, you know, if you go to Publix or Winn-Dixie or Kroger or wherever the hell you go, Albertsons, wherever, you're going to find Chi-Chi's salsa or refried beans or
I didn't know that.
Chi-Chi's tortillas.
Neat.
You know, they have that on the Mexican or whatever aisle that they have it on. Mm-hmm. So, that the trademark is owned by Hormel's.
Oh, wow.
So they are allowing him to use the name.
Mm. So he's going to bring it back.
And starting next year. And there's talks that there's going to be one in Tampa.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, after it dies down, we'll have to go check it out, because, you know, that place will get slammed at first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like they opened up a White Castle in Orlando about a year and a half ago. They had to have the cops do traffic on the road for the drive through. If that's how crazy it was. Now, if you go, I'm sure it's fine.
Probably normal.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. But because of the fact it's brand new,
everybody wants to figure out what the big to do is.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely have to.
Well, I
restaurant.
Do you like English rock and roll?
Of course. Like the Beatles?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
how about the Police?
Yeah, that guy, too. Well, I've got a Rod Stewart story here.
Yeah.
Do you know how old this gent is?
I think he's in his 80s now.
79-year-old rocker.
I was close.
Yep. And he posed recently in a photo with his wife, Penny Lancaster.
Uh-huh.
And two of their sons, they picked out a Christmas tree at a Christmas tree farm.
Was it that picture you showed me with his Colonel Sanders outfit on?
That was a different, but here he is here.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, they were at the Christmas tree farm. But
lovely family.
Yeah, yeah. He's got plenty of children. I think he has like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 or 9 children.
Wow.
Well, your man kept busy.
He's going to stay busy. Well, he can afford nannies, I guess.
Yeah, 8 children with 5 different mothers.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm no judging here.
No judging. No. Yeah, so the Do You Think I'm Sexy singer, he's reunited with all his children back in June of this year.
Okay. How about in So I Married an Axe Murderer, when Mike Myers played his dad, who is Scottish, and he was singing that song. If you want my booty and you think I'm sexy, come on, baby, let me know.
That is one of the worst versions, though, that I've ever heard.
It's the best I can do for a Scottish accent.
Well, I'll tell you, the guy's still rocking. He's fixing to go on tour one more time.
Yeah, he's going to do another tour tonight.
This is going to be the farewell tour. And, man, God love the guy. He can still get out there and sing at 79 and have keep up with all them children and all them ex-wives. Man.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah.
Why don't you get a Guy Fieri story?
Yeah. So Guy Fieri and Sammy Hagar in business, of course, and they have a tequila business.
Right. The Cabo Wabo brand.
Yes.
You know, for not being a tequila drinker, I actually like that stuff. It's actually pretty smooth.
Well, actually, they have Santo Blanco, which is the Guy Fieri brand.
Okay.
Yeah. And they are involved in that together as well. And so it appears it was an organized crime effort. And there were some trucks, and they were brokered to a different carrier, and they were transferred the product, the tequila, from the correct carrier into the rogue carrier.
Mm.
And so pretty much they heisted.
So the wrong hands got onto the tequila.
Yeah, and we're talking about at least $1 million in tequila.
Ooh, that's a lot of tequila, man.
They were really shipping some tequila up this way.
No kidding, man. That sounds like several truckloads.
Yeah, it happened in Laredo. Man,
you're thinking about $30, $40 a bottle. It's still going to take a lot of bottles to get to $1 million, you know?
Man, they probably had them stacked to the ceiling, dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And can you imagine offloading that tequila carefully and loading it?
Oh, yeah, you can't just
grab the shit and go, man. Right. You got to drive carefully.
Right.
And plus drive the trucks carefully too, because hitting every bump on the road,
So you said this happened in Laredo, Texas?
Laredo, Texas. 24,240 bottles of Santo Blanco and Reposado tequila, and also the extra añejo. So wow, that they say that wow, this is the biggest heist they ever had.
$1 million is a lot of money, but I'm sure Guy Fieri and Sammy Hagar are not hurting.
Well, they're saying this is a huge setback for their company, especially that now that tequila is very competitive market.
Mm.
You know, there's Casamigos, there's all these companies out there that make tequila.
You know what? I haven't partaked in tequila in a while. Maybe we ought to do a shot at New Year's. What do you think about doing a tequila shot? It's been a minute since I've done that.
Yeah, well, you know what they say about
the lemon
tequila
and the salt and all that. What about it?
Tequila?
Tequila? Well, I'm talking doing one. I'm old enough now to know better to pace myself.
Yeah,
you know, maybe we ought to do that for New Year's, man. And what's that brand called again?
Santos. I actually own a bottle of it.
It's just called Santos.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture of it.
Yeah.
So there it is, Santos. Got a big old cross on it.
Okay. Well, if it's not too expensive, next time I'm at the liquor store, I'll look for a bottle for the New Year's party.
Well, if you want to make some extra money, Fieri is offering a $10,000 reward to anyone who can locate the missing trucks.
Yeah, let's go ahead and find it, man. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, let's find it.
What else you got? Don't you got one more here on diabetes or something?
Yes, I do. Okay. So, you know, diabetes has been a problem for people and for years and years, as far as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And they say now
a lot of effect on you, man.
Well, and they say now it's even getting worse. The number of people living with diabetes worldwide, not just here in the U.S., has quadrupled, dude.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Guess who was borderline?
Who?
Me.
Well, you are.
I was.
You was.
Yeah, that's what kick-started the keto thing, because the doctor was like, you need to lose weight because you're borderline diabetes with your blood.
Oh, boy.
And
that ain't good.
And oh, yeah. And he said, I'm going to give you 3 or 4 months. I want you to come back and see me. And if things haven't changed, I'm going to start putting you on pills.
Oh, boy.
Because I told him I didn't want to do pills.
Yeah, that's not good for you, them diabetes right. pills.
Well, everything.
Unless you're taking Ozempic.
Right, one thing. Well, there's another. That's controversial itself. But
you would lose a lot of weight.
Well, you know, I'm good where I'm at, and I'm still continuing the journey. Well, now it's more of a lifestyle. It's not even a diet. But, no, I was borderline, man, and it could be severe problems. I mean, mental stress, physical stress, depression, just no energy. You know, some people get their foot amputated and stuff. I don't know what diabetes has to do with that. I'd have to look it up. But
get neuropathy in your feet. Okay. You also get neuropathy in other parts of your body. Because what happens is the little nerve endings and blood vessels start to not get their blood flow circulation.
Okay.
So they get neuropathy.
Oh, is that feeling you get like when your leg falls asleep?
Tingling or itching.
Yeah, they feel that all the time.
You know, my wife has diabetes. She's diabetic. Mm-hmm. She gets neuropathy sometimes. Really? Also, she gets itchy, dry skin sometimes. There's special lotion you're supposed to put.
Oh, yeah. You can go blind from it.
It hurts your eyes bad.
Yeah. So there's a worldwide problem with diabetes?
Well, they say, you know, it's quadrupled in the past decade since 1990. There's four times more people.
You know what a lot of this has to do with?
I know what it has to do with.
Food, processed food.
Processed food.
And less exercise. And here's the third thing that I've discovered this year. No sun. You got to get outside.
There's a lot of people that sit in the house and do this.
All day, and they're sheet white.
They're sitting on the keyboard, or they're sitting like this with the phone.
Look, you work outside. You know I'm a beach bum, so we're both tanned. But look how many people live in this state that are so white. And why?
They look like this, man. Right.
And why?
Brawny towels.
They
here,
never
dude.
Get outside. They never move. They don't get outside.
Nope.
And then they eat junk. Like the FDA is getting ready to rule on this whole dye thing, the yellow dye number 7, red dye number
red
5.
Red dye is a big problem.
It's made from a petroleum
product.
It's
always been bad, red dye.
Oh, yeah, they've known that, but they hid it from us.
That's why they took the red M&Ms out years ago.
Well, and that, but like you take the, for example, Fruit Loops. Like JFK showed this. He showed the Fruit Loops box in Europe, and there's like 8 ingredients in
That's it.
You look at the American... Holy
9 million ingredients
shit.
In that son
what
of a bitch.
What is all that stuff?
A bunch of shit.
Yeah, well, that's why you got a label read these days. You have to.
You have to, man. Don't trust these companies.
Yeah, and look for bioengineered food, too. Basically saying avoid it. Like Hellman's mayonnaise now has on their bottle of mayonnaise that it says it's made from bioengineered resources.
Or GMO food.
Well, the same thing.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Luckily, Duke's hasn't put that label on there. I hope not, man. I'll be pissed off. But you know what? I'll make my own Duke's at my house, and if I have to, I'll get one of those wand things, and you can get the recipe at
Duke's
Online.
Smash up the eggs and everything.
Yeah, well, no, it's only one egg and oil, and then Duke's has a little lemon, apple cider vinegar, and something else. No, I looked up the recipe online. You can make your own Duke's. Nothing gets hidden off the internet now, so that's crazy.
Let's talk about this spike here.
Yeah, this diabetes.
So the American
spike.
Diabetes Association is saying, and you were right. You can ding ding ding.
Oh,
diet.
Yeah,
diet is the number one reason. High in fat, processed sugar, especially the processed sugar. Lots of people are eating.
Yeah, the fat I disagree with, but the problem with is having high fat with the sugar makes it worse.
Makes it worse.
There's nothing wrong with high fat on its own.
Yes.
Think what I've been doing for a year. I've lost weight on a high fat diet.
Well, the high fat sometimes is bad for some people because cholesterol kicks in. And
that's what happens when it combines with sugar.
Yes. And then also, too, people are eating. This is what I notice at the White Trash K. I go there in the morning, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about a coffee, black coffee, nothing in it, just black coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even put sugar in it.
Now you go black.
I go rogue, dude.
Yeah?
I just drink that shit. That's the way to go. It's bean juice. It's not meant to have a bunch of shit in it.
Well, that's why you pick on my half and half.
I do. So anyways, the people go into these White Trash Ks for all of you that don't know what that is. That's a Circle K, and I'm allowed to say White Trash because
You can say whatever you want. This is America.
This is America, and I am.
Disagree, agree, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I'm white, and I can say trash K. So anyways.
Right, exactly.
Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Damn Skippy. So I'll see, maybe a middle-aged lady. She's getting ready to go to work. Walks her ass in the white trash K. gets the super polar pop.
Yeah, full of Coke.
Fill it up with sugar. Mountain Dew, Coke, yep. Dr. Pecker, whatever, yeah. Man.
Fanta.
Fanta Orange.
Yeah, Fanta Orange.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if you're lucky, Fanta Grape.
Fanta Grape.
I like Fanta Grape.
Hell yeah, man. I like some grape.
I haven't had one of those in a while, but I like a grape soda.
Oh, man, grape's good. Makes your teeth all purpley and shit.
Man. Yeah, man. Grape soda's good shit, man.
But it's a sugar. It's got high fructose corn syrup, which is bad for you, brother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And see, that's why I have converted to the Mexican sodas.
Mm-hmm, because they use the cane.
They use the cane, man.
But soda's not meant to be consumed like water either. That's the thing. So these people drink these high sugar.
They drink them like this going down the road.
They're literally drinking the Kool-Aid. I had another friend of mine who
like, what are we drinking right now? Well, you're drinking a soda, but I'm drinking.
Well, this is zero calorie though. So I'm sure the artificial sweetener's bad, but it's better than having the calories.
I drink this and I drink unsweet tea. That's what I drink. And if I do partake in a soda, which is
unsweet Sprite,
which I'm going to tell you, I love me some Jarritos. I love Jarritos orange and fruit punch, but I limit it to one.
Yeah. You're just supposed to drink one.
If I'm going
to
get a burrito, I'm going to go, man, let me get a Jarritos fruity tootie punch.
Yep.
My burrito with that. That's going to be all authentic.
You have one. That's fine.
Or if I'm going to have a fajita, I might say, oh man, let me go get a Mexican Coke.
Now, I had a friend of mine who did the same thing. Her breakfast was picking up a Polar Pop and then getting a brownie from the gas station.
Little Debbie's, right?
Not even a little Debbie, some other bullshit. But either way, it's like you know how fucking terrible that is for you, all of that?
Well, you know another thing that people do, too, that's bad for you is the Monsters and Red Bulls.
Oh, yeah, because they get the ones with the sugar in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny you brought up Little Debbie because probably about 3-4 months ago I had one. I didn't like how it tasted. It tasted processed.
It's very fake. Processed.
Did it taste like that when we were kids?
No, it didn't. They're putting different stuff
in it. Arguments that things, even the taste has changed.
Preservatives that are in it?
Yeah, right. Remember when they brought back Twinkies, how the big to-do with that, they were smaller. And I remember I got a box because I just kind of missed it, you know, even though I hadn't had Twinkies in years.
Do you know all that stuff that they put? Now, occasionally I'll partake in a gas station, a bakery item.
Okay.
Occasionally. Now, back in the day, I partaked in them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger then, I could burn them off, and it didn't affect me. I had a stomach like an iron skillet.
Yeah.
But thing is the amount of preservatives they put in them things so they have an extended shelf life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is incredible. That's look at the label. The
preservatives.
The label is incredible on the back of them.
Well, my friend taught me years ago, you know, we won't say any names, a guy I do hit with, he taught me years ago, if you cannot identify the first 7 ingredients on any food, do not eat it.
Exactly.
And I'm like, damn.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about.
He knows exactly what he's talking
about. Hitman, you know what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the second big thing. Lack of physical activity.
Yes, didn't I hit all that even before getting the article, man?
You're hitting it, man.
Oh, yeah, freaking...
you get a prize here.
Yeah, and then you get your foot cut off.
Oh, that's bad. If you have lack of physical activity, your muscles aren't strengthening. You're not burning off that insulin that you have.
Right.
You're not burning off extra sugar and calories. Like, what have you been doing? You've been burning calories lately. You've been burning calories. Well, how do you do it?
Well, you work out, you get outside, exactly. You know, even for me being a computer guy, you know,
hey, what is your favorite workout you do usually, Chewy?
I typically love walking. Going to the beach and walking.
That's easy for most folks to do.
The average person and you don't have to go to the beach. I'm just saying
you can just go down your road right here where you live.
That was today's workout for me. I didn't feel like going to the gym. I went for a 45-minute walk outside.
Took off going north or south, wherever.
I hang around the neighborhood, you know. It's so important. And you know what? Just even for your mental state, fresh air. It's not hot right now in Florida.
Plus, so you feel good when you get done walking a couple miles. You go, man, I just walked over there and back.
It's pleasant outside.
Yep.
You know, so there's no excuse. I mean, I know those of you guys who live up north, it gets cold and it sucks. So, you know, it's already snowing up north.
But think about it even, too, when
you can get a treadmill or something.
When it's a little warm and temperate out and you're walking, you're sweating. It's coming out of your pores. You're getting rid of the toxins.
Found that it's good for your eyes. They're not looking directly in the sunlight, of course, but the sunlight, just your eyes, vitamin A.
Sure.
Oh yeah. No. So. What's the third one?
Number three, being overweight or obese.
Right. Which
that's common sense. Yeah. Right.
Well, cause you got a lot of stored fat, your insulin resistance, your pancreas is working overtime, your liver's working overtime,
and another one that, is a big issue. And a lot of times this is a reason why some people get it regardless. Excuse me, folks, family history, your gene pool.
Yeah, sometimes your genetics is going to play a part in there too. But there's still no excuses to not do what we talked about earlier. Eat whole foods, exercise, and exercise can mean just walking, which also means get outside and get some sun, folks. You can go outside and get 10 minutes, 15 minutes worth of sun. You don't have to lather up sunscreen. Just go outside. Just pick weeds or something. If you don't want to go work out per se, just get outside, fresh air, fresh sun. You know, I'm just saying there's no excuse for it. And trust me, being a former fat guy, I know. I've been there because I love food. I continue to love food. But I tell you, food tastes so different to me now. Like when I brought up, I had the Little Debbie. I did not enjoy it like I used to, man. It just tasted so fake, you know, and it is that whole thing. A Little Debbie is nothing but fake. There's nothing real about it. Maybe the chocolate.
Well, you know, it's just make wise decisions when you go into the gas station.
Well, folks. And if you don't pay attention to your health now, trust me, your health will pay attention to you later. You will suffer from it, and the consequences is way worse. And, you know, like me, I'm a single guy that lives by myself. I get my foot cut off. What am I supposed to do with that the rest of my life? I'm going to hobble around. You know, everything is going to turn into a struggle. That's why I got to stay healthy. That's why I got to take care of myself. And everybody should, regardless of your relationship status, take care of yourself, because that other person may need your help. They may need your strength. You know, they may need your physicality to help pick them up. And I've done that. You know, it's like, man, geez, I just got called over to help somebody else. They fell down. They couldn't get up, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, you know, you are what you eat, and just think about diabetes, folks.
Yep. All righty.
Yeehaw! Florida Man story is back again. The stories that all of you have been waiting to hear for at least a month now, we're backed up on Florida Man stories. So
we got a few.
Yeah, we got a few, but I won't take them too long because I know we've been going a little long here, and somebody's got to get up and go pee eventually here, I'm sure.
Yeah, after this, I definitely have to micturate.
I'm talking about our listeners. I ain't talking about you. You can just let it ride.
Wait a minute. The host needs to micturate. Well,
just put on a diaper. Let's get on with this show.
All right, let's do it.
Florida man decorates his yard with a giant replica of the lamp from The Christmas Story.
The leg lamp.
Big old leg with the stockings.
Yeah. And then the dad thought it was Italian because he says, look, it says fragile. Must be Italian. God,
what the hell?
Fragile.
Yeah. So the centerpiece at J.P. Malachak's suburban Jacksonville home, the Christmas display has been instantly recognizable because it's a giant leg of the Christmas story. And it included a replica of Ralphie hugging the lamp wearing his pink bunny suit.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, the Christmas story is a 41-year-old movie based out of Cleveland, Ohio. And it was shown on television and still is during the holiday season. This guy says that everybody's been decorating their houses, and I thought it would be fun to have it. I like it. I like the neighborhood. I like the competition. Who wouldn't like to have the best Christmas decoration from The Christmas Story?
Well, that's cool. You actually didn't tell a crazy story for Florida, man.
No, that was a good story. I figured I'd open up because we are in the holiday season.
So. Yeah, I like that.
So in Winter Haven, Florida, this man has told the police he doesn't remember breaking into the Winter Haven home. And he was wearing only a shirt because he was high on drugs.
So he was walking around like Winnie the Pooh?
Exactly. He had the little snap red sweater.
Okay. Or Porky Pig, just pantless.
I don't understand, damn guys. Why didn't they put pants on?
It's still a topic to this day. As a kid, you didn't think about it much. Even Donald Duck is pantless. Mickey Mouse got some red shorts on him, at least.
Even Daisy Duck is pantless.
Yeah, man, they're all pantless. Characters. You know, maybe there's a little innuendos from these perverts even from yesteryear. Yeah. So you broke into somebody's house pantless.
Yeah, so the police say that residents that were in the home on 6th Street in Winter Haven were awakened shortly after 1:30 a.m. on Thursday when they heard this loud bang at the front door. So they went there to take a look, and they found 23-year-old Austin Alexander Smith in the living room, appearing to be wearing only a shirt with no pants and shoes. And he was holding their carpet cleaner in his hand.
Oh, he decided he wanted to break in and clean the carpets.
Or maybe
there's this weird stuff there, man. Yeah, man.
So the resident yelled at Smith, who immediately ran out of the home and dropped the carpet cleaner on the ground and began walking down Avenue M and 5th Street Southwest. Police said Smith broke into the home by kicking down the door. Smith told officers he didn't recall what he was doing because he was high on methamphetamines. Yeah, that long ass word. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I call it meth.
Meth.
So he has been charged with burglary and of an occupied dwelling. South Florida man is accused of using a barbecue fork in a fatal stabbing.
Oh,
yeah. This is in Riviera Beach. Not to be confused with the Riviera Beach that we have. We have the Redneck Riviera over here.
Yeah.
So this is the Riviera Beach on the East Coast.
Okay, I was just about to ask, where is that? Because it sounds familiar, but I wasn't sure exactly where. You know,
that's the East Coast.
Even being a Floridian, I still don't know every town that's here.
The Redneck Riviera, which is in Apollo Beach, that's right on the West Coast.
Right.
Just in case any of y'all are trying to check.
So you want your Florida geography here.
You definitely have to.
Yeah.
So, this guy here is facing a murder charge after police investigators allegedly said that he stabbed another man to death Monday evening using the cooking utensil.
Wow.
Roosevelt Johnson, 29, is facing one count each of first-degree murder and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
Was he not happy the way the barbecue turned out? Was it not cooked to specification?
I'm guessing, man. Let me get into the article a little more here. They arrested him, and, of course, he's being held, his bail's being held on the murder charge, and he's in the Palm Beach County Jail.
No bail.
And prior to the fatal stabbing, Johnson attempted to attack two of the female relatives of the actual victim with a cooking utensil moments before leaving. Attack his two female relatives with a cooking utensil moments before. So this guy has a fetish with cooking utensils.
Yeah,
this is the problem here. And he approached the first random person he saw and stabbed him to death. So that's what happened.
Jeez.
Yeah. So this guy here just, I guess he's just got a problem with utensils. And
yeah.
He's in jail on a murder charge and hopefully
stabbed with a barbecue fork.
That is just a terrible thing to have happen.
It had to hurt.
I'm sure it did. Can you imagine if you're wearing a bulletproof vest and he stabbed you and the fork tongs were bent?
Yeah, man. Ouch.
Yeah. So the last story of the Florida man stories here.
Okay.
Florida man injured in a truck explosion. So here's what happened in Clewiston, Florida, Chewy. Mm-hmm. So there's this man, he was doing inventory on his F-150 truck with the topper on the back, and he does fire suppression systems. Mm-hmm. And he's doing inventory on the system and the detonators. Something happened, and one of the detonators went off. Mm-hmm. The blast knocked the man off of his feet so far that he was knocked out of the truck and onto the parking lot.
Dang.
Yeah. So this guy had to be airlifted to the hospital because of the injuries, the extent of his injuries. It occurred about 20 miles west of Belgrade. So this is a developing story, but that is something really crazy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Can you imagine you're working, you open up your truck, you work for a fire.
Boom.
And you move a box around and maybe it hits one of them detonators, dude.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? And the next thing.
Well, heat expands. And that's basically what an explosion is. It's fast.
It opened up expanding. The back of this topper.
Wow. Geez.
Dude. And can you imagine? And it showed, and I can't show you all the video, but it has the video here. I was watching it earlier.
Well, what about the guy down the road from me who said he was reloading ammo and he blew half of his house up?
That's right.
Down the road from here.
Happened a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago, but I remember that. I heard the explosion.
It blew the garage apart, dude.
Yeah, no, the house is demolished, man. I checked it out a couple
did
days
later. Did they rebuild
later. It? I don't know. I'm sure they did. They have to. It's in a neighborhood. Not they have to, but, you know, it just looks bad.
Maybe insurance or something.
Yeah.
Well, cool. That is the end of our Florida Man News. Thank you very much.
Well, folks, that is going to go ahead and wrap up show number 37. Glad you guys downloaded and listened to the show. If you got any comments, suggestions, feedback, please send us an email at akebonoradio@gmail.com. We are on akebonoradio.com, and we're also on X if you want to look for us there. And all I do is put show announcements on X. I don't do any kind of posting whatsoever. It is just to promote the show. So, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewy. Any departing words before we sign off here, Pirate?
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
You're right. We probably won't do another show till after Christmas. So y'all have a Merry Christmas. I'm way behind on shopping, but I do that every year. I'll figure something out. And
if we get a wild hair under our armpits and we want to make another show.
Maybe. You never know.
We might. You never know.
Thanks a lot, folks. Bye-bye.